On the issue of Minister Cummins' presentation, I do not think that it was something that should have been delivered at the press conference. The apologies and the attempts to placate should have been left to PR, or sorry, to the PR of the ministry, not the COVID response team, PR of the ministry. Also, the policy decisions that came out in her presentation required in-camera joint consultations by the government, hoteliers, and other stakeholders. You see, what happened to Minister is a case of giving too much information to the public in effort to be transparent. There's one thing to be transparent and another to be prudent in which types of information you give to the public. I really thought that the Minister would have talked about the issue of tourism from the perspective of what lessons have been learnt, what they have seen so far, and about what areas need to be strengthened with respect to the number of tourists coming here and what needs to be done in relation to the tests and so on. I will not accept that our tourism product cannot withstand bad press in the international media and that we should pay up or be held to ransom. I believe, and you read a bit of it in a WhatsApp message, I believe our tourism product has been tested time and time again. I will not support the decision to give excessives to tourists. The lady just hit the nail right on the head. Get them a bottle of rum. I thought so too. There are other initiatives that could be used, like offering a small gift or a token, and you leave it at that. That is my position on the three press conferences. And again, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. Walcott, Nina, at first, to be honest with you, I thought him entering the press conferences brought a sort of dimension to it, a hopeful. He sounded confident. He sounded influential, and it was refreshing. But what I heard in his delivery last time leaves a lot to be desired. And I tried calling his office. I wanted to reach him to discuss another matter, and I have not reached him. So it seems to me he's very, very busy. But his tone did not come over well to the public. And he needs to watch that. So having said all of that, I thank you, sir, for listening.
All right. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Brastax. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Good afternoon, Brother Ellis.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yes. I just want to make a quick point or two. I've been listening to some of the comments about the monies or what we plan to do for the tourists that has been stranded for one reason or the other. Now, I remember before we had the lockdown or the shutdown on All Ears Night, prior to that, the lab was running pretty smooth. Everything was good. Everything, no problems at all. But then we get inundated with the people hearing what was going on. Everybody get phobic. Just like panic shopping, they went to the polyclinics like panic shopping. Now, I believe that the Prime Minister is trying her best to keep this country afloat. I believe so. Now, a bottle of rum. We hear this bottle of rum foolishness, solid nonsense. If you go overseas and you go shopping in Miami, you got your 3 bags or 4 bags, you pay for them, you pay for the extra bag, everything. And when you get home to Barbados and you get off, you on the line waiting for your bag, you don't see two. Then somebody tell you maybe they get mixed up, they get left behind. You got to go back to the airport 3-4 times till eventually you might get it and then find it. Maybe one open, maybe something's missing. You might get some reimbursement, not all. You hardly get all. There's one point. The other point is, you book a flight on the aircraft, and for some reason the aircraft not able to take you out. They take you and they put you in a hotel. You get put up. You get your breakfast. You get your dinner with lunch, whatever, until they're ready to go. Nobody have a problem with that. Why did not give you a bottle of rum instead of putting you in the hotel? Why did not give you a bottle of rum instead of reimbursing you, some of you, what you lost in your bags? because I don't understand the logic. I can understand the lady is trying to put things in place so that in the future, some of these people can say just how they did with the tourist liners, how Barbados treated them to a certain level. I could understand it from that perspective. The other thing is, I hear a gentleman spoke about he worked 4 weeks or something and he was home for 3 days and he didn't get the correspondence and he was sick. One of the questions I thought you would have asked him if you went to the doctor, because if he was so sick, well, you never went to the doctor. All that he talk about is that he didn't this and he didn't that, he didn't that, he won't commit suicide, he wanted to jump in sea. But he didn't tell that he went to the doctor, and the doctor tell him to stop at home and don't go outside. The lady that said she didn't get money since 2017, 17, not 18, so she expected to get some money suddenly. Now, we had the economic downturn, and after the economic downturn, you try your best, and you're starting to float, brother, down, you had COVID. Meet nobody at all in looking at these issues to see, well, this is where it was trending, this is where it's falling down. Yes, you made some mistakes because it was new. Some mistakes was made. But I don't understand why everybody want to put a kind of criticism. Not that you don't have the right to criticize. But let me do it in a context where you can do it to uplift rather than haul down. Because I see that's pulling down. What bottle of rum? What are you doing with a bottle of rum?
We listen to all of this and we draw different conclusions.
Yeah.
My sense, though, is that the overwhelming sentiment that I hear is that people want to protect Barbados, you know. Even in the criticisms that come, mm-hmm. I still sense overall people want to make sure that we do the best that we can to protect the island, because we are all vulnerable if we don't do so.
Exactly.
You know, and people are going to, I think, even if you get one or two that appear as though they're just attacking for the sake of attacking, but the overall position that I hear from people who are talking here and elsewhere is one that they want to help the government. This government still carries a great degree of goodwill.
I believe
but in
so.
The But in all of that, you know, they will make decisions from time to time that people say, look, I think you need to go back, reverse, and fix it and come again. And the government has said that. One of the positives out of much of what has happened is that it's very important that this happens in a community.
Mm-hmm.
If a government makes a decision and people rebel against it,
mm-hmm.
it is important for the government to listen,
exactly.
review, and come again.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some of that take place.
Exactly.
So I would put the emphasis more on the general sentiment of giving support while at the same time saying these are the things that are not working in the way that we think they ought to. And that's a wonderful thing for our democracy.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your contribution. This person says, I'm a concerned parent of an inmate at Dodds Prison. I want to know what is being done to stop the spread of the virus among inmates, such as sanitizing, masks, and so on. I have been told the inmates do not even get fed properly. No sugar in tea, no salt in food, sometimes not even a shower, and no soap when it comes time to get a bath. Would it be so hard to bring back the days when you could take things for your family or even be able to provide at least the basics to protect your family in jail from contracting the virus? Ma'am, this is a very important question that you have posed. You know, there are aspects of dealing with prison that constitute national security. Anybody who has a relative in Dodds would be extremely worried And it is indeed important that the government gives people like you the assurance that all the necessary protocols are being followed and that you get as good an idea as possible about the steps that are being taken there to avoid this situation getting even worse. So I really hope that the relevant minister listens to this particular plea that is coming from you, because I see that as a reasonable question to pose, and I see it as being representative of the question that so many other people would have. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We'll take a commercial break and then we will return. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And I hope that this year don't continue the way it start. I would say, for instance, my birthday was yesterday. I couldn't even entertain myself with one person. And on Friday, it was Richard Stout on, and I couldn't join him like last year. So I hope that the year improved that we could enjoy ourselves. I have three little points to raise with you today. The first one. On Tuesday, on your station, as usual, Bastard, the CEO of the hospital informed us persons who receive medication from the hospital that they have put something in place, which I have already received one already, but I think it was back in April or May, what you call delivery, prescription delivery to your home.
Yes.
And she gave a number to call so that the large numbers of people at the hospital, you know, you could call in and take the weight off the hospital. And the number is 536-4804. I start to call it from about 2:45 on Tuesday. And a couple of my friends, all pensioners. And as I will tell you, up to today, I called about an hour ago, and the line busy. From Tuesday to today, not only me, none of us could get in. I don't know if it's a telephone problem. I don't know what's the problem. I also, on Friday or Saturday, after having so much trouble getting it, decide I can wait and see if late the evening, if they got a record system there, a recording system, I could leave a message. And I did that. Then I called, the phone ring this time, and the machine came on and told me to leave all the information. And I leave it. Hopefully that one of us will get a call from the Ministry of Health. As I speak, nothing. And the bad part, like my problem is I only use a little, I drop nothing much. So it's no big thing with me. But I have friends that need medicine for prostate, sugar levels, pressure, that need the medicine. And they're told not to come to the hospital, as far as I understand. I'm not sure, but that's how I understand it. And I hear Statman talking about how the Prime Minister say, these people saying things that they lead you in the wrong direction. I don't know if you could go to the hospital, and my friends don't know. So I would like someone to explain to us and find out what is going on at the hospital with the medical delivery, or if you could start sending someone for your medicine. That is one. Two, on Monday, the day before, knowing I like a lot of community work, I tried to help a pensioner with something to be done to himself through Urban. And I called Urban and the lady answered the phone. Pleasant. Nice. And the lady told me that I would hear from her or someone as soon as possible. That was the Monday. The Wednesday, a gentleman called and identified himself, name, everything. Tell me he's working from home. And he's calling from Urban. And he and I had a discussion for over an hour, pleasant again. But then the shock, because calling government departments these days is shocking. On Friday, my phone rang again, and this time it was the secretary of the representative of the constituency that I'm looking for the South. Miss Ellis, you believe that? That in 1 week, any government department that operates like that? In other words, in 1 week, so I will have to say hats off to Urban, even if I don't get the project that I'm hoping to get done for this gentleman work out. The way that they communicate with Alvin the caller, I could say hats off to them.
That's very nice that you're in a position to give them that kind of credit. And,
yeah, of course.
And praise them for the work that they've done.
Because they deserve it. Now, my final one here now, the fellas. You know, I can't call and don't deal with politics. There's a short one politically. Now, I know the voices, and I know the people know my voice also. When I say me, callers who, to me, represent parties like what I do. But as you know, most BLPs don't in BLPs. They just call and represent the BLP, but they're not BLPs. I hear them speaking all the time now about pointing fingers and accusing and blaming. And they would like it to stop because it's helping the country. They have to come together as one and etc. And I agree with that. I believe that we should work together, especially in this time. But I would like all of those nice people, like the Statsman and all of them, to go back to 12 days ago on the 31st of December 2020 and listen and find out who is pointing fingers and who is blaming. And to give them a start, I would like them to go and listen to how a little Basquale and three prison officers was dealt with. And tell me, had that in pointing fingers and blaming people. And today, as I sit back and listen over the last couple of days, I don't even know how this big thing about the Basquale and these three men getting it. Because after this morning, I was seeing a lady speaking, and I, on another station, I calling and praise the lady. Because we had this problem from around March, the 16th of March. And the lady put to me that I never think about. That's why I tell you how important talk shows is. People don't like them, but they're very important. The lady said, you know that from March we had this problem. And people is being taken to court, sometimes in the holding cell, and going to Dodds and don't get tests for COVID. Miss Alice, you ever think about that? If you have your country and you still have the court operating, policemen still working, you don't believe that everyone that is going to Dodds for the first should be tested for COVID before you enter those walls? Do you think about that, Miss Alice?
I really think it's necessary to test people who will be going in. Remember, the Attorney General said there will be no ins and outs right now. But it is among the people who are in jail at the moment that the problem, that's where the problem exists. And the testing of those people and putting measures in place to arrest the spread of COVID in jail, that is absolutely necessary. And, you know, it is not just to do it, but it is important to share the information with the public and that sort of thing, because, yeah, you know, there are so many people who are related to these people there. And because you're in jail, it does not necessarily mean that you should be forgotten in this regard. Indeed, I also think it is very, very important that in light of what has happened here, we need to hear also about testing in our geriatric hospitals.
Because these
people are among the most vulnerable.
Yes. But before we go, Ms. Ellis, I heard the statsman trying to belittle you on the station, okay? But I will say this here. You just said something that made me continue my conversation. The Minister of Home Affairs gives me the impression again that at prison, you don't come out. And that was when you're going there, you don't come back out. How the school meals and the defense force just get lunch in there? Everything you're going, you don't come back out. That's the impression he gives. It's only ins and not outs. So how does this get food? You believe that when people go at doors, you just go in and you sleep in there, you don't come out? You believe that, Miss Ellis? Nobody. Or you know that the school meals is supplying them the meals?
I'm not aware of what is happening.
Yes,
that
is what the Minister of Home Affairs said, that the does is supplied with lunch from school meals and the defense force. And still okay. he's saying that there's no in and outs. I don't understand that. What do you think about that?
Well, when he said there will be no ins and outs, I thought he was speaking specifically to the issue of inmates. It was in that context.
Go in and out as a light. I don't think he only mean inmates. We know that. Okay, but Miss Ellis, you have a good day, and I hope this year will go better for us.
All right. Thanks. Down to brass tacks.
We will probably take it from there. Alvin left off. We keep on hearing blame on the bus crawl. But I want to call your attention to Thursday, May the 7th, paper 2020. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thursday, May the 7th, paper 2020. When Richard Carter, told the nation that we had community spread. We don't know if this had affected the authorities because we didn't hear anything more from him from then. So any person, and explain what is known by community spread. Thursday, May the 7th paper. Alvin might say marks or so, but just for information for
but that was a long time. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but just 8 months
ago. At that time, the numbers came down considerably.
No. I didn't work community spread. Community spread.
At that time.
Wait.
What's the link between that and now?
Because if it was in the community, it's obviously, if they were not testing community like how they were saying to people, come to the polytechnic and so on, get tests. It's only after it came so, and you know so many people in the prison and so, that this announcement was made. If that actually had done earlier, we would have been able to know if it was ready in the community or not.
May I suggest to you that I do not see a link between what was said in May and where we are now.
But no, you wouldn't have seen one because there was no testing in community. So obviously, if it was in community spread, it would be in the community. It couldn't be the community spread, Andrea.
Sir,
Hold on a minute.
Walk with me. This is the point I'm making to you. I do recall the use of this term community spread last year. But between last year and this upsurge that we have had, we did not have cases going to, we did not have the number of cases to suggest that any semblance of community spread that might have been seen back then continued throughout the year. So I don't see how a reference to community spread in May can be linked to what is happening right now. Now, there is this World Health Organization definition of community spread. There's one by the Centers for Disease Control as well. And there is one that you and I got. We feel that it's community spread when it is happening on a scale where Barbadians who have not traveled are catching COVID and it is moving from person to person. That is how we see community spread. They have another definition, and I'm not here to challenge their definition, but to say that for us, our common sense tells us that that's what community spread is to us as lay people. Okay? But I ain't seeing no link between me and no, and I don't know where you're persisting with it.
Ms. Ellis, what I'm saying to you, there was no community testing before. We were only asked to wear masks, wash your hands, and things like this. But there was no testing in the community.
But there weren't. But the numbers would tell you, based upon what was happening, numbers would tell you whether there was community spread or not.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't. Why would you say they're not when there was no testing done in community? We only asked to go to the polytechnic and saw here the other day.
Sir, let's not prolong this any further. My only point to you is that if there was community spread, you would see it in the number of people who were actually testing positive in the country. There would certainly be an upsurge in the numbers, because that's the essence of what constitutes, in our view, constitutes community spread. It's spreading in the community, full stop. I'm not into the sophisticated stuff that these guys are trying to toss around and stuff. That's for them to do when they're doing their reports and things for government and they're sending the World Health Organization and stuff. They could go along with that. But on the ground, when you see it moving like that, the average people see it as such. Okay? Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. This is Caswell Franklin.
Hi, Caswell.
I was trying my best to stay away from the controversies about the coronavirus. I wanted the government to get on with this business and run the place and do it well. And initially, they started, but now they have been overtaken by events. The government has lost control of the situation. I don't care what anybody tells me. They are bungling everything they touch right now. Their incompetence has shown up beyond measure. But my particular concern right now is Dodds Prison. I am getting calls from parents of inmates. I'm getting calls from prison officers who are inside the prison. And I'm getting calls from prison officers who are quarantined outside of the prison. And I'm going to give you situations dealing with all of them. First, the prisoners. Yes, they committed a crime. Some of them, because some of the people that are in prison are on remand. And we don't know if they're innocent or they're guilty or anything. But regardless, they are human beings, and they should be treated as such. They should not be denied medical attention because the doctors don't want to go into prison to treat them. People are fearful. Prison officers have illnesses that are being untreated. We have one prison officer. I had to call Dr. Walker to try to get medical attention for him because nobody in the prison was seeing him. He was sick in December. He had pneumonia. He came back to work on the 21st of December because the prison insisted that he must get a negative test before he comes back to work. He got a negative test, no corona. Then, when all hell broke loose, they insisted prison officers come to the prison and get tested. So he went up, got tested, negative. Mind you, this is a man that is still not well. He's asthmatic as well. He's gotten sick in prison. He's asked for medical assistance, and they refuse to give him medical assistance. He's coughing up some brown stuff, and they tell him, cough it up, and then send a picture to the doctor so the doctor can diagnose him or can diagnose him. This is what is happening. Eventually, Dr. Walker intervened, and they managed to get a doctor to call him on the phone to describe his symptoms, and then write a prescription for him. So he has not seen the doctor. Doctor didn't listen to his lungs, doctor didn't listen to his kidneys, doctor didn't listen to anything.